Hello, this is Tom Onder. I'm a member of Stark & Stark's Business Litigation Group with the New Jersey Legal Update for the week ending Friday, July 22, 2005. This past week saw some very important decisions which will affect human resource departments, commercial grocery store and other commercial establishments, leisure activity corporations such as horseback riding stable owners, as well as New Jersey property owners in regards to their property tax assessments. The first two decisions involve employment-related decisions of note to human resources departments. The first decision, Singer versus Beach Trading Company, Incorporated, was decided by the appellate division and which held that a former employer can be held liable for negligent misrepresentations of a former employee's work history. The appellate division, in its decision, held a five-factor test the courts must decide in determining whether a former employer can be held for negligent misrepresentation. First, the inquiring party needs to clearly identify the nature of the inquiry. Two, the employer voluntarily decides to respond to the inquiry and provides inaccurate information. Three, the person responding is acting clearly within the scope of their employment. Four, the recipient of the inaccurate information uses this inaccurate information to either deny or make some other adverse employment action against the former employee. And five, the former employee can show quantifiable damages approximately caused by the negligent misrepresentation. This decision is extremely important to human resource departments and how they handle inquiries regarding former employees. Although the appellate division reversed a summary judgment that was granted in favor of the defendants at the trial level, holding that there were issues of material fact, human resource departments should take heed to the five-factor test enumerated. Further, human resource departments should be sure to only provide accurate and reliable information on a former employee. For instance, if a former employee was, quote, a bad employee, information should not be provided to an inquirer based upon allegations alone. Rather, only accurate and true information substantiated should be provided. The second employment-related decision was also decided by the appellate division and involved a former nurse and the hospital where she worked. The appellate division affirmed a grant of summary judgment in favor of the hospital based upon the plaintiff nurse's retaliation, hostile work, sexual harassment, and gender discrimination claims. The former nurse had brought these actions against the hospital, citing that she was terminated due to her filing of a sexual harassment complaint as well as her gender. The hospital provided information showing that her termination was based upon her egregious treatment of a patient over a two-day period. The appellate division held that there was no logical inference that could be made that the timeline alone of her termination was a retaliation for her filing of the sexual harassment complaint or because of her gender. This decision, like the other employment decision, is very important to human resource departments. When terminating an employee, a human resource department should take special care to document the termination and reasons thereof. Further, special caution should be made if the termination occurs at or about the same time that the employee has filed a complaint against the employer or one of the employer's employees. The third case of importance from this week's decisions involved a slip and fall at a local grocery store. The case, Dematis versus Incolingo Market Incorporated, Dematis DI, capital M-A-T-T-I-E-S, versus Incolingo INCOLLINGO Market Incorporated, was also decided by the appellate division. In the case, a customer who had walked into a store had slipped on some detergent in the store. The customer plaintiff filed suit against the store on a legal theory that the employee of the store had nicked a container of detergent when setting up a floor display, allowing detergent to leak from the container and eventually creating a puddle on the floor where the customer slipped. The appellate division held that the customer failed to show any constructive knowledge or notice by the store of the detergent being on the floor and creating such a dangerous condition. This decision is important to note for grocery stores and other commercial establishments for the fact that when dangerous conditions arise and employees know of the dangerous condition, that they should be remediated immediately. Further, if an employee has actual or constructive knowledge of a dangerous condition, it could spell great liability to the store or commercial enterprise. The next decision from this last week involves a horseback riding incident and is important to both stable owners as well as other leisure activity companies operating in the state of New Jersey. The case, DeMello Tamero versus Dempsey, DeMello DiLemmo-TamMaro versus Dempsey, was also decided by the appellate division. In the case, the appellate division affirmed the trial court's decision in favor of the defendants from an action arising out of the plaintiff's injuries to her back when she fell from a horse which was bucking, owned by one of the defendants, during a riding lesson given by another defendant. The court in its decision cited that the plaintiff failed to tell her instructor or the horse's owner that she had previously fallen from a horse. Further, she had signed two general releases and a hold harmless agreement, agreeing to assume all responsibility and risk from the horseback riding lessons. These agreements included enumerated risks such as falling or broken bones. Finally, the plaintiff had actually seen the horse buck and its owner fall off before she attempted to ride it, but it did not deter her. In addition, the plaintiff had failed to file a written report about her injuries, either to the stable or its owner, which is a precondition to suit against such a facility pursuant to New Jersey Statute 5:15A6. This statute and its conditions were clearly posted on the stable when the plaintiff came to ride. This decision shows the importance of having clear and defined general releases and hold harmless agreements, whether your company is a horseback riding stable, a kayak company, or some other leisure activity which the general public uses. The more specific the language in the hold harmless agreement, as well as the general releases, the greater protections which you will be afforded, so long as these protections do not violate public policy. Finally, a case near and dear to any New Jersey property owner is a case involving local property tax assessments. The case, Murphy versus the Township of Greene, was decided by the appellate division. Regarding the tax court's dismissal of a plaintiff's complaint which challenged their 2002 residential real property and improvement assessments issued by the Township of Greene. The plaintiff sought a ruling invalidating the assessments of the improvements on the property on the basis that the municipality had refused to permit him to live in the dwelling constructed on the property due to alleged zoning violations. The plaintiff contended that unless he was permitted to occupy the residence, the municipality could only assess Mr. Murphy's property as vacant land. Although the appellate division agreed that the zoning issues did have an impact on the value of the property, the appellate division noted that there was a lack of evidence presented by Mr. Murphy on the property's fair market value. As such, the appellate division held that there was no way that a judgment could be entered in Mr. Murphy's favor. The importance of this decision for New Jersey homeowners when fighting a property tax assessment is the fact to have proof of your property's fair market value. Although you may believe that your property is worth X dollars, this must be substantiated to the court based upon clear and admissible evidence. Should you wish to learn more about any of these decisions included in this week's New Jersey Legal Update, you can contact me at my direct line of 609-219-7458 or by email at tonder@stark-stark. And make sure to tune in to next Friday for another edition of New Jersey Legal Update by Stark & Stark. In the meantime, visit starkandstark.com or njlawblog.com for regular updates on important legal developments taking place in the Garden State.